week's episode of Never Thought I'd Say This with your hosts, Jody Sweeten, that would be me.
And Celia Behar, and that would be me.
Hi, Celia.
Hi, Jody.
We have new microphones, and I feel so far away from
you. I know.
But apparently Emily says that we're just loud enough.
I feel very far away from you, which I sort of like that you can't reach over and touch me.
You don't like to be near me anyway.
I know. We have a guest.
Yeah, we do have a guest, but do we need to give our parents stats anymore?
God,
we
all
might
right,
as well. It's
fine.
Season two. Let's try and start this shit off the right way.
Not,
so yeah. So my why start now? My kids. I have Zoe, who is almost 12, and Beatrix, who is 9.
Yeah. Oh, you know that now, do you?
We're gonna get to that later.
Okay, just making sure. Glad you know. I have Harper. She is 13, and Lulu, who is 8. And so weird. Just so weird. You had her yesterday. You know.
I did. It was quite entertaining yesterday.
Yeah. And we have our guest today.
Woohoo!
I'm very excited about it. It's Brenda Strong. You guys will know Brenda from 1,000 things. If you watch Desperate Housewives, she was Mary Alice in Desperate Housewives. So you're definitely going to recognize her voice. And she's also an amazing yoga teacher, has a series of DVDs we'll talk about. Supergirl. Oh my God, you were in Spaceballs, Dallas. Spaceballs. Hi, I didn't even know that until very recently. Someone told me and I was like, no way. And then they sent me a screenshot.
Amazing.
So, yeah.
And so welcome, 13 Brenda.
13 Reasons Why.
Yes, and 13
yes,
Reasons
13
Why,
reasons why yeah, which thank I would love you. To talk about too.
Me too.
I am so happy to be here. Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, absolutely.
Do you want to give us your parenting stats also?
Yeah.
I am the proud mother of a 25-year-old named Zach.
25. They know what they're doing at 25, maybe a little?
No. No, but he's definitely coming online.
But legally, it's not your problem anymore if we don't.
So exactly. No. But you know what? I have to say, to his credit, he has really gotten his stuff together in the last, 3 years. He realized that his life wasn't looking the way he wanted it to, and so he started to take control over it, which is great.
That's great. And so that happens eventually.
Yes, it does. It does.
Wow. Because I worry. I mean, honestly, Harper was just doing homework with her friend Carly yesterday, and I texted Carly's mom, Denise, and I said, thank God they're pretty, because I don't really know if they're smart at all.
They're just distracted.
Oh, and falling off the couch, and couldn't find the assignment, and then logging in, and didn't know, and what class, and who's the teacher, and
we've had that discussion. I've sort of just been like, you know what, I cannot... crawl up your ass and make you do your own work. I can't. Because I don't even want to anymore. I'm so tired of reminding about, did you do this? I'm like, you know what?
I think it's all about, and we're going to talk about this today, of did you do this? And no, you can't do this. And here's why. And we were just talking about that before we got onto our mics about not being
boundaries are actually really good for kids.
Yeah.
They respond well with consequences.
Yes.
Yeah.
People don't give their kids many boundaries now, I think. People are surprised how strict I am. And I'm how strict you are, for that matter. Especially, I think, because of the podcast, because we joke around so much.
Right.
Then I'm with people, and they're like, what? You're not going to let your kid do that? I'm like, no. No.
Right, exactly.
No, I'm not.
So, Brenda, do you have a good never thought I'd say this moment that you would like to bring?
Yes, and you know, it's funny because there's probably more than one. I'm sure there's countless.
I have more than one a day.
But the
sometimes.
One that came to mind was about this boundary issue,
mm-hmm.
and it was also about the fact that we all have gone through divorces.
Yeah. Right.
And when you are the parent to a child within a divorce, you don't have full control over the boundaries being consistent anymore because your ex may or may not share your value system.
Right.
And what happened to me was my son wanted to have a 16-year-old birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
And my ex didn't see any issues with having alcohol at that party.
Whoa.
Without supervision, and because the adults were coming as well.
Right.
And he said, well, it's for the parents. I said, yes, and but these are 16-year-olds
and
they will find a way to sneak to get to the alcohol.
Yeah.
And you can't be accountable for if someone gets hurt after they leave the party, if they've snuck something that you provided at a 16-year-old's birthday party.
Yeah. Right.
So I had to actually say, I can't be there. I can't in good faith help you host this party for our son because I don't support that decision. I will come, I will set up, I will come, I will clean up, but right. I'm sorry, I can't do this. And he thought that I was basically blowing up my son's birthday party. And my son had the wherewithal to say, no, Dad, she's just honoring her own values.
Wow.
And I was like, that's great. Good. He goes, she can't get behind this. And I respect that. You shouldn't make her feel bad about it. It's okay.
Why? What was the...
I don't know.
Why was alcohol so important? I guess I don't understand.
I didn't either. I didn't either because he thought it was a party. But I'm like, it's
not for the adults.
Exactly. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Oh, I have a story about my 16th birthday party.
I think I've heard this story, but...
The one that my poor mom... Hi, Mom. I know you're listening. She's probably like,
hi, Janice.
Goddamn party. So my 16th birthday, I was being just a pain in the ass 16-year-old. And I just kept getting into trouble. Like, I just...
You?
Was, I know. Sure. Shocking. Mm. And just doing a bunch of stupid stuff. And my mom, we were getting, one of those little boats going around Newport Harbor, which is, down in Orange County. And we were going to take the boat out. And it was, a party boat, tiki party boat thing. And they take you all around the, the bay for, mm-hmm. 3 hours or whatever. And so it was going to be a bunch of parents dropping off, 17-year-old kids to have this party on a boat. And then their parents would be picking them up. And my mom, though, was like, if I had not... She literally had put down a non-refundable deposit.
Oh, my God.
And she was like, if I could get that money back, you would not be having this party right now.
What did you do?
I don't even know exactly what it was. It was just a pleather. I'm sure I was drinking. I'm sure I was lying. I'm sure I was just... Mm. I did great. I did pretty well in school, but I was just, always being sneaky. Like a 16-year-old.
Right.
Does. Oh, but, my God. A really, sneaky 16-year-old.
Right.
So my mom was just very much over it, and... We had the party anyway, and I was so thrilled that we got to have the party. But then, of course, a bunch of my friends showed up and were smoking pot on the top level of the thing.
This is before it was legal.
This was way before it was legal. Yeah. And my mom's on the boat.
No.
My mom on the boat. So I'm like, oh. And then I had a bunch of friends that showed up with alcohol. And people were drunk, and because they were my friends. So they're all just a mess. And
Back then,
right.
Now we're all very stable.
They actually, a lot of them are incredibly stable individuals, and I'm very proud of them. But yeah, my mom was like, oh, it was just 16 birthday parties are hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, my daughter has had friends, and I know she's done it for that matter. They've been at bat mitzvahs and managed to find... the dead soldiers that, the adults put down and they walk away as you do at a bat mitzvah, and the kids come right on back, pick it up, and they'll try it. And that's how I drank the first time, was to do that at a bat mitzvah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was such a good girl. my parents didn't drink. We never had alcohol in the house.
Can I just tell you,
I was in honor society, I was a good student, all that kind of stuff. I actually went with a girlfriend to a party, and all the kids hid their beer when I walked in.
Oh my God.
Because they acted like I was a teacher. Here and I are. Thought, I am so not cool. I am so not cool because they're looking at me like somehow I am going to tell them.
Oh my
it's
God.
Terrible.
I'd walk into a party, my friends would hide their beer just because they didn't probably want me to drink it. That was an entirely different reason.
Yeah. In high school, I was a student educator. I signed a thing saying that I would not drink or smoke pot throughout all of high school. And I would,
Didn't we all have to sign look that shit? That.
No, I went through training and we'd go into other schools and middle schools and talk about not doing, why you shouldn't do drugs and why you shouldn't drink and all that stuff. So I had that same reputation. Except for people that knew that I, started smoking pot when I was 14 years old. So that was maybe a little cheating on the signing away, I won't smoke pot or drink. But I didn't drink. I didn't drink in high school at all.
Jody, you know how I'm always cold?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah. Well, I found the best thing ever for that. It's called the Ember Wave, and it is the first bracelet that helps you feel warmer or colder at the press of a button.
Ah, your own little personal temperature control system?
That is correct. Ember's lab's mission is to bring thermal wellness to the world. They are passionate about using temperature to help every person feel physically better and emotionally better, because I know when I'm, either too hot or too cold, I'm miserable.
Oh, if I'm hot, I am so cranky. It's not even funny.
See, and when I'm cold, I'm so cranky. It's not even funny, because temperature is personal. Everyone's idea of comfortable is unique, just like you said. I don't feel comfortable when I'm too cold. You don't feel comfortable when you're too hot. So, you know, that's why it's amazing. And I have loved it because when I'm feeling really cold, it just kind of gives me this release. All I have to do is touch this button. It's on my wrist. And this sensation works with your body and your mind to make you feel more comfortable in a matter of minutes. It's based on the science of how your mind and your body respond to temperature sensations. And that's why it's amazing. It is just one of the coolest things. It was invented by three MIT scientists, and it has won the pitch for the AARP's Innovation in Aging Award. And, you know, I'm getting old, so I like that a lot.
Yeah. I mean, look, I am always warm. So something that would like keep me from having to constantly crank the air conditioning would be amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And I really feel like right now everybody could use it, especially when you're home and, you know, not everybody likes it at the same temperature in your house. This is a way that you can control your own temperature. And if you would like to try, you can receive $50 off of your order by heading to EmberWave. That is EmberWave.com/say this. Again, that's EmberWave.com/say this to receive $50 off of your order.
You know, it's interesting though, talking about boundaries and like that you thought you'd never have to say, like, I'm not gonna show up for something because I just really feel like, and I love though that your son knew.
That gave me such hope. Yeah. And the one thing I do really appreciate about him is that he's really honest. Even if it's something you don't want to hear, he'll tell you what he thinks, or, you know, he's not sneaky that way. He's a little bit too honest. Like, I really don't want to know you're doing that.
Right, yeah.
please stop telling me the truth, because I really want to be in this. But I really appreciate that about him. And
how do you think you helped like nurture that in him? Or how, you know what I mean? Like, how do you think raising him, you were able to like impart that on him, or was that just kind of who he was?
He grew up in a yoga studio.
Okay.
So we had a yoga studio in our home that we ran, and it was a couple years before Desperate Housewives hit. So it was a little strange once my voice was out there, and then people would come to the yoga class just to hear my voice. Oh my God. Like, I think we've just crossed a boundary where I don't have any privacy anymore.
Right,
because
right,
my
right,
home
yeah.
is now a public domain.
Yeah. Right.
But I think because he ended up at 7, like sitting in a class with a Rinpoche talking about Buddhism. And he actually, during that time, I took him to this show called Ashes and Snow. I don't know if you remember.
Yes, I took my kids to that.
Such a beautiful show. But he and his best friend went into the gift shop afterward and actually took something from the gift shop. They stole it.
What?
And during the talk with the Rinpoche, he came out and he was crying in his room. And I said, "What's wrong?" He said, "I stole something, and I have to tell you, and I can't. I, there's karma in the world.
Oh my God.
I have to tell you that I did this, and I feel really bad about it." And I said, "Well, thank you for telling me, because now we can actually deal with what you're feeling and the fact that you did it.
Right.
So let's see what we can do. We have to go back to the gift shop and we have to tell them that you took this.
Right.
And you have to let them know that you did something wrong and you have to return it.
Yeah.
And because you're going to take responsibility for it, let's see what the consequences are.
Right.
Wow. So we did that. And
it's a nice
the gift shop manager actually ended up thanking him for being honest. And he gave him a journal for free and said, "I think I'd like you to have this, and you can continue to write down your thoughts and feelings as they arise as you learn things." And it was this wonderful kind of exchange of, oh my gosh, if I do something bad, but I'm honest about it, something else can happen where I can grow from it.
Right.
So that was like, that was a huge, that's, I think that's where that's the honesty amazing.
Yeah. And
from.
I did, like, I, you know, and I've talked about it a little bit before, just from being in recovery for years, like I have tried to sort of impart a lot of that on my kids too. Mm-hmm. The same thing of like, look, if you fuck something up, just go admit to it and go make it right.
Right.
Go
right.
ask how do I make this right?
Take
how do, I'm sorry. I did something.
Exactly.
If I hurt your feelings, if I took from you, whatever it is, like, go be honest and apologize and ask, how do I make this right? Because chances are people will, like you said, be much more forgiving and, you know, helpful if you go and admit, like, hey, I'm really sorry I did this. How do I change it? Rather than be like, oh, glad I got away with that.
Right.
Yeah, because when you don't actually unearth those things, they stay with you.
Of course.
Well, and that's they become a big part of your character.
Exactly. It's a big part of, you know, your shame body. Writing all that stuff out and, like, getting it down and making it right. And, you know, I think the more we teach our kids stuff like that, like, I try and always, you know, be really careful about shaming my kids about something that they've done. And instead of, like, because shame is I am bad, but guilt is what I did was bad. And there's a difference between that. And I always want them to know, like, look, this, what you did wasn't great and we have to fix that behavior and make it right. But you are not a bad person. You know, if I'm mad at them, like, your behavior, I'm really mad at your behavior right now, or, like, your attitude
that's
sucks.
That's excellent.
I love you, but, and I always say, I'm like, I love you, but your attitude sucks right now.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I love you, but I don't like you at this moment, please.
And, you know, that shame really ties into the whole fertility conversation, because when women are going through infertility and unexplained infertility, they take on that shame, like, what is wrong with me that I can't conceive?
Well, and I'll back up and say that. So this is it's a crazy story. And it's one of those things that I was, and I know I said it to you at some point, I think over the last year, Brenda.
Is Oprah involved in the story?
Of course she is.
Okay.
But Brenda was involved first.
Oh.
So I was a Desperate Housewives fan, but I was Googling, I went through secondary infertility, which I have not spoken about, but I had Harper easily, and then I was trying for 2 years to have Lulu. They couldn't figure out why I couldn't get pregnant. I tried everything other than IVF. I went right up to the IVF line, and by the end, I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. It was making me so sick. All the shots I was giving myself, and just the buildup of everything. I had hyper, like cysts or whatever happens, like when you give yourself the shots, and then you got really, really sick because your ovaries, like, basically, polycystic. It was like the most painful thing I've ever had. It was throwing up for 3 days. Oh. And I was like, I'm done with this. I don't want to do this anymore. So I Googled, because I was already practicing yoga a lot and I loved it. And I Googled yoga for infertility. And the number one DVD that came up was Brenda Strong's. And I was like, I'm going to get this, because the reviews were amazing and there were so many testimonials. So I was like, well, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get it. And I got it and I started practicing Brenda's DVD and my body started coming back, which was crazy. Like, things were just changing in my body and I started doing a little acupuncture and then it just sort of, like, stabled out. Like, I was better.
And then Oprah placed her hand upon your head.
And then I went to Australia with Oprah as I was practicing Brenda's DVD, which came with me, by the way, to Australia. And I'd practice it there because they, you know, gave us everything that we wanted pretty much there. So I'd practice it while I was there. And then I found out that I was pregnant.
So what you're basically saying is that Brenda Strong and Oprah Winfrey got me pregnant. Yes. Okay.
I love that.
Yes.
You know, Oprah is magic.
She really is magic. Is magical.
I have to say.
She smells like cookies when she hugs you. I just want to
know that. Yeah.
She does. She smells like cookies. Yeah, she does. I can't. Swear to God, she smells like cookies.
What kind of cookies?
Chocolate chip cookies.
Like, really? The best kind. I would have guessed her more for a snickerdoodle
type. No. That's amazing. And Gail was with us in Australia.
What kind of cookies does Gail smell like?
Gail just smelled like flowers. Like, she was lovely as
well. What kind? Peonies?
Yeah, actually, peonies. That's totally a good guess. Not lying. Anyway,
this
so.
This is the first thing that came to my mind.
It was really totally true.
I had no basis on anything.
I know. Well, it's weird because, first of all, I was always an Oprah fan. So then when that happened, it was one of those weird, like, manifestations that, you know, I ended up being able to be near her several times. I was on her show because of it. It was crazy. And then one day I walk into Black Dog Yoga and I put my mat down next to my friend Leah Kalish, who I, you know, have done energy work with. And on the other side of Leah is Brenda. And, like, I just heard her voice first and was like, holy crap. holy crap, there's Brenda. Like, I don't think that I would have had Lulu without you. Like, I really don't. Aww. Your DVD was so life-changing.
Can I tell you, and you'll understand this, Jody, when fans come up to you and they say, oh, I love your work. The ones that get me the most is when I'm in Whole Foods and all of a sudden a woman will walk up to me and she's got a baby carrier on and she said, this baby's here because of you.
Yeah.
And I burst into tears. And one time I was going through the parking lot and I had a man driving through the parking lot and he stopped and he actually rolled his window down and said, "My wife does your DVD. Thank you." She was insane before she started doing your yoga. And she's so, I have my wife back.
Oh, wow.
And then she said, not only that, he picked up his phone. He said, I have a daughter. And this is, so he's like, those things make me feel like I am doing something positive for people with stress in their lives.
Because it's not just the poses, which obviously, you know, help, but you do talk about letting things go, and you are, you know, and you do talk about the shame that we carry, and you're, it was so, because no one said it out loud to me. Like, not when I was battling it, no one said to me, like, do you feel like a failure? Or I went through this and I feel like a failure. Like, nobody was talking about
it. No one wants to talk about it. And that's the stigma. Even now, I have two teachers that have taken on my teaching and created a new company called Living Leela. Mm-hmm. And they have a soulful conceptions kind of DVD videos that basically incorporate all the other work that I developed, from the fertility ball to breathe to conceive, all of these modalities that were in our in-person teaching but never made it to a new thing. Mm-hmm. And now they're doing it. They said the hardest thing is to get people to talk about it and create a forum where they feel open and safe enough to be able to share what they're going through. And yet on the other side, once they conceive and they have a child, then they're willing to talk about it. But now they don't want to think about it anymore because it's such a painful part of their lives.
I also think, though, just kind of, I mean, this is sort of why you and I started the podcast, is I think there's just sort of a general thing of, like, shame and feeling like a constant failure as a parent, whether it starts from the time that you're trying to get pregnant and can't, or then you have the baby and you didn't do the all natural home birth, so you feel like you failed
that, or you had a C-section,
so you feel like you failed at being the natural birth giving mother, or, you know, you don't want to breastfeed, and so you feel like you failed that. Like, it's just interesting. I think so many women at every step of the road, when they have kids or don't have kids or whatever it is, like, we just put so much shame on, like, everything I'm doing is wrong and I'm bad, and if my kid does something terrible, it's my fault, and you know, and you and I, when we started doing the podcast, we were like, no, this is, fuck this.
everyone.
We're works in progress.
Yeah. And like, we don't know what we're doing.
And not only that, but our kids are works in progress.
Exactly.
Think, you know, I know something that you and I have talked about. I think a lot of times, like, our parents' generation even were really, you know, my mom and I have talked about it, that she felt really, like, ashamed of what people thought of her because I was, you know, getting loaded or whatever. Right. Like, it was, there was a deep level of shame that somehow she had failed.
Right.
And I think what I'm seeing more is almost with some people in our generation is that we're able to kind of differentiate, like, look, you can do the best you can, and your kids might still do some stupid things because your kids are their own humans. They are not.
Exactly.
It is not, you know, an actual extension of your body. You wish it was, but they are off learning and doing and being their own people. And that's going to look like all kinds of terrible things sometimes, you know?
One of the things that we found through the training, when people finally did start coming to the fertility yoga classes, is that shame and that feeling like you're out of control.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't stop when you conceive. It continues.
Right. Yep.
And so what we started to really understand is, if we can help people with their thinking, if we can teach them how to be a better human, they'll become a better mother. They'll become a better parent. So it's like giving people the tools and the information to really listen to themselves, to turn inside and go, okay, all this that's happening in my life that's challenging and difficult and painful is actually for me.
Right.
It's not against me.
Yeah. Like,
and if I can actually have the mantra, this is for me, then I can actually let it in and let it go through me and learn something. But what happens is we resist what's happening in our lives. Like, this shouldn't be happening, whether it's not being able to conceive or our child not behaving a certain way.
The Untethered Soul.
Yes.
It's very much about that.
Yes.
About, like, you know, allowing experiences to come through you rather than, like, hit you.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And sort of, you know, be like, you feel less assaulted by things in life and more like, okay, this is just something that I'm passing through.
Exactly.
And it's coming and then it's going out and I'm, you know, and it's not locking me in a box.
So, one of the best analogies I used to use for that, because, you know, people are visual. And so if you think about the fact that we're almost all water, right. so much of this is water.
I told that to my kids the other day, and their mind was blown.
Oh, like, yeah. Water seeks its own level is something I say to my kids all the time.
Oh, no, but this was more, Zoe was having a moment. I was like, dude, it's a full moon. If you don't think that, like, your body's 70% water and affected by the tides, and she was like, wait. Hold on. I am 70% water. She's like, how am I not a puddle? And I was like, well, you have bones. She's like, but if I'm 70% water, why aren't 70% of my bones mushy? And I was like,
God. Is this a question?
Right. I mean, it was, yeah. And I was like, well, I can't explain it, but just trust me. You're not. Yeah. You have bones.
I'm not smart
so
enough.
So the analogy is if you have an experience, if you're in fear, mm-hmm. if water becomes ice, it becomes frozen.
Right.
You know, fight or flight, you're frozen. So if a rock gets thrown at a wall of ice, right. it will shatter it. It will break it. It's actually very vulnerable.
Right. Mm.
But if you're fluid, if you're mm-hmm. allowing things to come, experiences right. to come in and come through you, if a rock gets thrown at a wall of water, it just absorbs it and right. it just falls to the bottom. So it's this idea of whatever's coming at you, you can handle because you're not resisting it.
Right.
It's that same, it's just a different
Well, and that's
analogy.
What I think your DVD did for me. And as far, because people always ask me, they're like, well, how did yoga change it? Like, I don't understand. And I was like, well, I went from mourning every month, because people don't realize that when when you're trying to conceive and like years are going by, it's like every month you get your period is a fucking tragedy. Mm. And I would sit there
PTSD
and
cry. From,
yeah. I mean, it was terrible. And it was like, just holding on to it so hard, like, oh my God, it has to be this month. And then when I started practicing your DVD and realizing that I had to let that go, and I had to stop beating myself up, and I had to, acknowledge that it was painful and that was okay, and that I wasn't a failure, but it was okay to feel like my body was failing me, even though it wasn't, and learning to like love myself anyway, and then learning to accept that maybe I was never going to have another kid. Maybe I just needed to be in the moment and be present, like we were talking about before, mm-hmm. with Harper and stop looking into the future, which you and I talk about me liking to know the ending.
I was just going to say, I'm really glad to know that you worked on stop beating yourself up, because you've
I've done a fantastic job. I know. I mean, that's my work
we
all
keep
the
relearning
time.
The same lessons, just in different circumstances.
All the time, right? But when I finally let it go and I started talking about it also, I was like, this is really painful. And but being like, if it's going to happen, it happens. And honestly, as soon as I was practicing your DVD for 3 months, and then the Oprah show happened to me as I was letting go. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. And then I went to Australia and then, found out I was pregnant, came back. And of course, then did more work as mm-hmm. I was kind of coming back into my own, realizing I hated where I was in my circumstances. And that's why we moved to LA. And thinking, I don't know if I'm ever going to get out of this. And I just feel so like on paper, I had everything at that point. I had a house, I had a, job with benefits and, working for the government and blah, blah, blah. And a marriage that seemed like it was perfect. And it wasn't. Nothing was perfect and nothing's ever going to be. But I wasn't really happy. I was holding on to stuff still. And that's why I ended up getting divorced. And then, I'm practicing next to the person in yoga that helped me get here in the first place.
Well,
that's
sort of,
not a weird manifestation.
Well, I was going to say, it is sort of weird how sometimes, like, that sort of the universe lines up like that.
Yeah.
And all of the woo-woo weird shit that happens. And it does.
True. And it's like, and I think that is, and I try to tell my kids same thing about karma, is the, like, just letting stuff go and try to manifest better things. If you're focusing on everything that's wrong all the time and, it's going to stay wrong.
Well, Jody, it comes as no surprise that we're all stuck in our homes for a while.
Yeah, just for a while.
Well, I have discovered Beachbody On Demand as a way to avoid complacency, which I think is, more important now than ever. Gotta stay active. Keep moving.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, it's amazing. I love Beachbody. It's a streaming service. It has over 1,300 super effective workouts that are suited for anybody at any time. Amazing trainers. It's got a workout time, on your schedule. You can work out as short as 10 minutes. You don't require any extra equipment. Who can't do that? Everyone can do that. You can access anywhere at any time, your computer, your TV, smartphone, doesn't matter. And it's got the best deal in fitness. Listen, I've been using the 21 Day Fix, which I absolutely love. It's 30 minutes. It's so great. It motivates me. It's the best thing that sort of counteracts everything I do with yoga. So I love it. I really want all of you guys to try this service because right now, I think we all really need to stay active so that we can support both our bodies and our minds. It's so important to do that right now. And our listeners can get a special free trial membership when you text Say This to 303030. You will get full access to this entire platform for free. All the workouts, the nutrition information, and the support totally for free. Again, just text Say This to 303030. Keep your mind and your body completely active.
Well, you mentioned Leah, Kalish.
Yeah.
Okay, so mm-hmm. Leah is the reason that I went on this whole journey because Leah had not been able to conceive. Mm-hmm. And she went to Dr. Dow over at the Dow of Wellness. And she wasn't ovulating. And so he ended up getting her to ovulate. She ended up conceiving. And I had been trying for 3 years to conceive. I'd been off the pill. And I was in my late 20s. And so I thought, well, it'll just happen when it's supposed to happen. Right. And you don't hear anything about, well, if you're not getting pregnant within a year, if you're at a healthy age, something might be wrong.
Right.
And so 3 years went by and all of a sudden I realized I'm not pregnant. So I made an appointment with Dr. Dow. Uh-huh. And right before I went to my appointment, I was at the movies and I felt my breasts and they were really tender. And so I found out that I had started doing yoga about a year before that. And I found out that I was pregnant. So I called him and I said, God, you're good. I said, I didn't even have to come. I just had to make an appointment.
Right, yeah.
I said, should I keep the appointment? He said, oh yeah, no, you should still come in. And I ended up working with him for 3 months, taking herbs to support the pregnancy.
Wow.
But then when I wanted to conceive again, I couldn't. I had secondary infertility.
So
by then, when I was pregnant with Zach, I became a yoga teacher because I wasn't working. Because as an actress, nobody wants to insure you when you're pregnant.
Right.
So I became a yoga teacher. And during that process, it just really deepened my understanding of yoga and how it affects the body hormonally and everything else. So I ended up really feeling like this was the path to heal myself when I had secondary infertility. And that's when I started teaching yoga for fertility. Because there's all this ancient wisdom in yoga that can help balance your hormones and deal with stress and all that kind of stuff.
I love yoga so much. I mean, I really, honestly.
Every time I go to yoga with you, I hurt myself, though.
Well, you had rage yoga the other day, too.
I did have rage yoga. It was awesome.
Rage yoga?
I just got super rage.
You know how you have classes like that? Because she didn't think it was normal. I was like, everybody.
Where you just, like, all of a sudden, like,
whatever.
Stuff came up, and I left there, and I was like, we were supposed to go to Costco, and I was like, fuck Costco. I'm going to stab someone in an aisle. Like, I just am so angry right now. I just need to go home. It was frustration that came up.
But that's what it does. It releases the stored emotion.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so good, because you can't stuff your emotions. They got to come out somewhere. They've got to be metabolized.
I know. I was like, I said, you could have gotten up and left. I've left classes before.
But I won't ever leave a class.
Oh, I have.
But like,
I've left Tiffany's class before.
Because I'm determined, but that's, I think part of it too, is I'm like, there's part of me that's like, I just want to leave. And then the other part is like, no, you will stick through this. You will do it.
No, that's not yoga though. You have to be in, it's fun.
First of all,
all kinds of shit that I do.
Look, woosah over there, okay?
please. It's the only time that I'm actually that person is in class.
I'm pretty sure that we both left and you were like, I don't want to see anyone. I was like, great.
Oh, yeah. So I was like, I need to go home and process more stuff. You know what's funny is I remember when I was in the middle of the divorce I just was at the end of the divorce and my sister had just been diagnosed with cancer. And I was in Patty Pierce's class, who
Students.
Oh my God.
My teacher
She's
training.
One of my favorite yoga teachers.
She's wonderful.
In the world. And she doesn't teach anymore. She's retired, but I love her. We sometimes go out to lunch. But we used to do, you know, a lot of back bends in her class. And every time I would come out of a back bend, especially wheel, I would lie on the floor and start crying. And she would, you know, kind of like look at me and be like, it's fine. Right. I would just lie there and cry. And one day I was talking to her after class and I was like, I can't do Urva Dhanurasana anymore because I just cut, that's real. I'm like, I'm just, I cry every right. time and I'm so tired of it. And I said, I don't understand what's happening. And Patty
you're opening
just,
your heart.
That's, she just comes up to me and she puts her finger on my heart. And she was like, because you're opening up your heart and you got a lot going on here right now. And she was like, you just got to let it out.
So basically what you're telling me is don't do a back bend.
Don't do, just, you will I'm just absolutely gonna cry. And never open up your heart. Your soul can stay black like it is. And then you'll be fine.
Oh, thank God. Yeah. Okay, now I know what to not do.
Okay, so don't do that. Yeah. But it changed. And you know what? Now I love doing them. Now I'm fine. It's totally fine.
Your body's a map.
What,
your body
what
is a
mean?
Map.
What do you mean?
It
I've heard that John Mayer song. No.
Oh, he has a whole different take on the body being a map.
He's trying to get somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. No. Yeah, all roads lead to somewhere for him.
Right, yeah.
But no, your body's a map. It actually, from an energetic center standpoint, mm-hmm. each of your organs is represented in a different chakra. So going back to shame actually is second chakra.
Yeah.
And the chakras are energy centers in the right. body. So when you're dealing with shame, it's that sense of sex connection.
Right. It's in your pelvis.
It's in your
hips,
pelvis,
right?
In your hips. So when you do a hip opener, right. it releases whatever you're storing in there. And when you do a heart opener, that's grief. I mean, it's the heart. It's your ability to love. It's your ability to open your arms and extend. But also if you're holding grief, which you probably were going through your divorce, it's going to release all that. So different parts of your body actually can teach you what you're storing. If you work with them.
See, I keep going back. I'm going like this. I don't know if this makes me want to do yoga more or less.
Yeah, but it's
hard. I'm like, oh, that sounds, wait, I don't know. That sounds very risky.
You know what's funny is
opening
always,
a can of worms.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, exactly. And I always get to a place in the middle of class because I love going. I go 5 to 6 days a week and I love to practice because it's the one time that I know that I can connect my mind to my body because the rest of the time, God knows, I have no idea what the hell I'm fucking doing.
Right.
But, and I'm always off in like 9 different directions, but I always get to a place in class, usually right around the middle, where I'm like, I want to leave.
Mm-hmm.
I want to leave. I don't want to do this anymore.
Right.
This is hard and I'm sweaty and I don't like it. And something here is happening and I'm not sure what it is, but it's really making me upset and I need to, and that's when, and when that starts happening, I've learned very fast to like get into child pose and calm the fuck down and figure out what's happening. And
I just
do
that with working out in general though. Like, I feel like I'm going to cry, but that's like 5 minutes in. So
well, sure. Oh, like when you took me to spin, she took me to SoulCycle. Honest to God, Brenda, I thought I was going to fucking die. Like, I can't believe I didn't barf. It's amazing that I'm never going again.
I haven't been spinning anymore either. I keep thinking about getting a Peloton, but I just don't have anywhere to put it.
I'm positive that there is a room in hell for me that is just a spin bike Zydeco music playing the entire time.
I think I might be in that same room with you because I really do not like sitting on a bicycle.
Ugh.
I'm sorry. Well, after you've had children.
No.
Well, the thing is you're not supposed to sit on the bike.
You have to kind of stand on it.
I don't want to do that either.
No.
I don't either.
And I never want to listen to Zydeco music, to be totally
honest. There was another time I downloaded a bunch of Cajun Zydeco music for no reason.
Well, don't send it to me.
I don't know why, but I now have it and now I fucking know.
See? That and techno music.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Oh,
maybe
no,
a Zydeco techno mix.
Yeah. You know it's out there.
I'm
someone
sure it is.
Send us a link to Cajun Zydeco music.
Don't listen to anything that Jody Sweetin is saying right now. That's fucking terrible. I don't want to hear that at all.
Speaking of
fucking terrible.
Of fucking terrible things, we have, I feel like, some pretty good parenting fail moments.
Oh, I mean,
I know I've got one.
I've got
sure.
one from yesterday, which I have to tell you, as soon as Brendan was like, don't shame them, I'm like, shit. Like, I totally shamed yesterday.
Okay, so there's three things real quick.
Okay.
One, so here's my parenting fail, my
the age, is that where you're at?
Yeah.
I can just read the text you sent me.
I literally forgot how old Beatrix was. until I said it to her face.
You've been saying it for a few days.
For a couple days, like, people were asking me, like, oh, how old are you? I'm like, oh, you know, they're 11, like, almost 12, and 8, and 8, and 8, and 8, and 8.
No.
Beatrix isn't 8.
She's almost 10.
I know. Now I know that. And I
now you know
that. Not now I know. I knew that. I don't know why I kept saying it, but I'm sitting here on the couch with her, and I said something about, like, oh, well, you know, maybe when you turn 9. And she's like, Mom. And I was like, ha, 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 just kidding, because you're already 9. I knew that. And you're going to be 10. Wow, you're you're going to be 10. Oh my fucking God. I walked away like, what is wrong with you? So I legit forgot how old my kid was and probably would have continued saying that she was 8, going to be 9, had I not said it to her.
I think it's because we get Lulu and B confused sometimes because we'll even call them each other's names. Lulu's 8, and I thought Lulu was 11.
I thought Lulu was 7. I was a year off. It was like Mescal was like, what, you just turned 38? I was like, yeah, babe. It's like, well.
Yeah, her boyfriend didn't know how old she was the other day, so.
He knows when my birthday is, though, so that's what matters.
Hey, that's something.
That's exactly.
Yeah. That's not terrible. Do you want to hear mine?
I forgot how old my kid was.
I forget how old my kids are all the time. I also call them the wrong names a lot. I mean,
just like usually because you're yelling so quickly whatever comes out. But like this was several days and well thought out, and I was joking with her, and she was just horrified.
Well, at least she knew her age. That would be scarier.
Also, just so you know, I had B and Lulu in the car last night, and Lulu was saying that she's super sciencey, but that she wants to maybe become a lawyer. And B's response was, "Perfect, you can be my lawyer." Which. There's so many levels on why that's frightening. One, that Lulu would be a lawyer. Not that she couldn't, but
was she like, you know what the thing is?
Right. Did you know that the human head? So there was that, but also the fact that B was so on board that she's going to need a lawyer, like just on the that I was like, oh, why? Perfect. You can be my lawyer. I was like, oh no.
Oh, great.
Right.
I'm so glad that Lulu is going to represent B later on, and God knows what the both of them are going to do.
Jody, I have a confession.
Yes?
I love TV, but I hate cable bills.
Oh, well, I feel like that's pretty much everybody.
I mean, it should be everybody. And here's the thing. Philo is my solution to that.
Oh.
Yeah. Philo is live and on demand for just $20 a month. And you can get everything. You can get Nick Jr., Discovery Kids, Animal Planet, all kinds of stuff for all the kids. Not to mention for us, Lifetime, TLC, you know, all the shows that you love, Hallmark, for that matter. Likes Hallmark.
You've piqued my interest.
I have. Yeah, they are amazing. I've been watching Friends on there and The Office. You know, I love Law and Order. They've got that. You know, you can save hundreds a month on this television subscription service. It's the most affordable way to watch at a time when everyone could use entertainment in their lives. Don't you think?
Yeah, especially for a good deal right now.
Exactly. And Philo was created by a bunch of passionate TV fans that wanted to make a better way to watch. There's no contracts. It's cord-free, commitment-free, hassle-free, and it's unparalleled customer service. I swear they are the nicest people I have ever worked with in my life as I set this up because, you know, I always need help with technical things. It also has unlimited DVR. Save all of your favorite shows so you can watch them whenever you want on your own schedule.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing.
It's not only amazing because of that, but you can have 3 simultaneous streams so you never have to fight over who gets to pick what. And I don't know about you, but that's a fight in my house.
Oh, that is a huge fight in my house.
Yeah, it's amazing. So now more than ever, Philo believes that great TV shouldn't cost an arm and a leg, should be accessible to everyone, and saving money shouldn't mean giving up the shows and the channels that you love. Philo is TV for everyone. Sign up today at philo.tv/say this, and you'll get 25% off of your first 2 months. That's Philo, philo.tv/say this and get 25% off of your first 2 months.
Are you done now? I'm going to go watch some TV.
Perfect.
Well, this was my craptastic parenting moment, and it was yesterday.
I couldn't even remember craptastic parenting moment. I was like,
parenting. Oh, did you not say it?
No.
Oh, well, I didn't even notice, so I don't know what that says about me. I was like, yeah, that thing.
Listen to me. Well, don't even care. Anyway, what's your crappy moment?
All right, so this actually probably started on Friday, but I didn't know it. I make challah every Friday for Shabbat with my kids.
So good.
It is really good. And Harper was helping me. And at one point, when she was like sitting, and it was dark in my apartment a little because we were watching a movie. And I was like, you've got flour on your face. Like, go wipe your face. Because it was like on her eyebrow. No, it wasn't. I noticed yesterday, like she walked by me. Just because as her, so my oldest daughter already
Does she have one of those gray streaks?
Nope, hold on. She already shaved her widow's peak one day for no reason. And I like just went off on her.
Just the front little.
Just the front part. Like she just shaved it off. And she's got hair like mine. So it's growing straight up. We call it the cockajew. And so she's like parting it down the middle and like trying to like make it not that. It's like little bitty like bangs that go out this way. Like she has like little devil horns. Oh, there's a Jewish reference I can make there, but I won't. So anyway, Emily's cutting that out. Anyway, so the other day I look at her, she walks by me and I'm like, stop right there. And she's like, what? And I just went, you plucked a hole in your eyebrows? Yeah, it wasn't what? Flour that was across, like, streaked over her face.
She has no eyebrow?
She has no eyebrow.
She shaved it?
No, she plucked she out.
Full-on Christian Slater
it. She plucked out on her right eyebrow, plucked out a complete line, so there's just a bald spot the size of her pinky across her right eyebrow. Like, it's just empty. And I was like, instead of being like, well, you have to live with that, so, you know, congratulations. I was like, what did you do? Like, I said, I told you you can't pluck her eyebrows. Where did you do that? Whose tweezers did you use? And she was like, I was at dad's house. And I'm like, why were you plucking her eyebrows? Like, you were 13 years old. You don't need to pluck her eyebrows. Are you shaving your arms? Because that's the other thing I told you not to do. And she's like,
she shaved her arms?
One time. She's like, once. And I was like, well, you're going to look like Wolfman. So and you look really stupid with the eyebrow that way. So wait, congratulations.
Question, though. I have a question about this eyebrow.
Fantastic.
Is it like just the, it like, does the eyebrow just start a little further in?
No, or there's Jody, just a hole? There is literally, look at my, describe what I'm doing right now.
Okay, she's holding a finger. So not, this isn't nearly as entertaining as the positions. No, she's holding a finger over her eyebrow.
But the like, center of like my center, eyebrow.
Okay, yeah.
Is where I'm, and there is a pinky size bald spot that in the center of her eyebrow.
Why did she do that? Didn't that hurt?
I don't know. I was too busy shaming her before I realized I was shaming her and then was like, never mind. It's your body. That's going to take a long time to grow
shaving
in.
Shaving her? You were shaving?
Shaming.
You said shaving.
Crap.
Yeah, I was a little confused with that one. I have to say, I thought you didn't want her to shave her herself.
Brenda's face was like, why are you shaving your chest? Wait,
no. And I was like, I lost my mind.
And I was like, wait, you're shaving her shaving finger? Just, I should. I'm shaving everything.
Shaving off the eyebrows right now.
Back up. Emily, you just killed
him. Sorry. I'm just going to shave. I should have.
Emily was just swatting at you like, go. I know, get, she's oh like, my
stop
God.
It. I should have just shaved them both off. I should have just sat on her and been like, you know what? Fuck it. You don't want eyebrows? You don't have to have eyebrows. Here you go, Whoopi Goldberg. You don't have eyebrows anymore.
I mean, we all did it in the 90s, so.
Yeah, just about.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Plucking of the eyebrows. Well, how long is it going to take to grow back? And then I was like, I don't even. You know,
mine was
sometimes
in the 80s.
You do it.
Mine was in the 80s, when you overpluck. But, you know, I have to say, they do grow back. Well, I mean, that the good news is, but that's going to be
I know
on her.
That's
the.
It's like
I said. Fantastic
parenting moment.
Like I said, they want to. Rock the tucked in sweatshirts with the fupa and shaved eyebrows. Just let it just rock it.
Let it happen. It's fine. Whatever. I felt terrible about it. She has a musical that she's in this weekend.
Well, she luckily with eyebrows though you can pencil them.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
With the shaving the widow's peak, there's really not much you can do to work with that
hair extensions.
I mean, honestly, right? Like what? And I'm just like, what? I said, what look are you going for here? Between your cockatoo that's happening, growing out, and like no eyebrow. I was like, what is next? Just warn me. I don't even understand what's happening.
What hair is gonna be gone next?
Like, I don't want to know. Just can you? How can I help you?
How can I help you? Can I help you not shave?
Stop! I'm so confused. And then I was like, I need to text your dad. And of course, right away, she's like, no, don't text dad. And I was like,
Why would you text?
Because it was his tweezers, and I wanted to be like, hey, can you make sure that?
Can you lock up your tweezers?
Yes. What, Brenda? You don't think that's an okay request? Lock up your tweezers? No.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, that's impressive, though, that she took that much of a chunk out.
That's it's an entire chunk.
What I'm wondering is...
Why the center?
How, I mean, once you do one, why would you continue to get to almost a whole fingerful?
It's an entire fingerful. Yeah, there's like, no, there's a line.
It must have been dark in the bathroom. I think she probably
was like, I'll get this one. And then it came out and then it was probably like, oh shit, that's two. And then she tried from like the top and then it was like, oh shit. Like, I think she just, and it must have been in clumps.
Well,
like,
I mean, it wasn't one. Something went tragically wrong. We don't know what or how, but something did not go as she went.
Poor Harper. Like, I do, and I totally
give her an eyebrow pencil at least and show her how to draw them back on.
No, I totally made her go to school like that.
Well, because you know that even if you had tried, she's like, I know, Mom.
Yeah, she would have been.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I just want to say, I don't need to read it if we don't have time, but a fan did write us in.
Oh, yeah. We can do a fail mail.
It wasn't a fail mail. It had to do... Oh. Because we have, you know, teens that make the noise now. The... Mm-hmm. Like, everything when we tell them to do something.
And the eye roll.
Yeah. And, like, flopping on the couch. So we've talked about it a bunch of times on the podcast. And I don't know if I could find it because we've had so many people write in. But one teenage girl wrote and said she just wanted to let us know how much she loves the podcast. And that she used to do that all the time. And her mom actually made, without her knowing, made a compilation video of her doing that.
Oh, that's hysterical.
And put it all together to send it to her just with the like, oh, here it is. This is Emma wrote us. I was listening to your episode. You get the jizz of it. The part where my youngest daughter was walking around telling people, you get the jizz of it.
No, honey, don't
do that again.
No.
Right. She said the part where you talk about the exasperated sigh and remembering when I used to do that to my mom all the time. So my mom, being the most creative person ever, videoed me every time I did that sigh and then made a 15-minute long video of clip after clip of me and played it every time that she could until I got so tired of the noise that I stopped doing it after that.
Oh.
And I was like, oh my God. Well, thank you, Emma.
Kudos
guess what?
To you, Emma's mom.
Uh-huh. We and guess what's going to happen in my house? That.
Yeah, for sure.
Uh-huh.
Just, yeah.
Brenda, do you have a craptastic parenting moment of any time in your life that you did something that you were like,
Yeah. My son was taking classical piano from, I think, the age of like 11, and he was really good.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, going back to how we get attached to our kids' behavior, because right. It reflects our self-worth.
Right.
And so I was pretty proud of the fact that he was very gifted in piano, because I had been a music major. His grandfather was a composer. I was like, this is cool. And so, and also because he's a very impatient, very talented kid. And so anything he would try to do, he'd be really good at, like baseball, pitcher, you know, tennis player, number one, you know, he was just really good. And he was impatient and he didn't know how to work hard at something and actually stick with it when he sucked.
Yeah.
And I thought, what a great template for him having to actually work at something and look at a piece of music and not be able to play it and then eventually master it and feel good about himself.
Right.
Because I thought, this is an exercise. This is a muscle he's going to need in other areas of life. So he was at the piano bench and I was sitting next to him and we were going over the thing and he was just being a smart mouth and he was doing the mom and he wasn't, he was slumping down. He was pretending to play the piano.
Oh my God.
And I, without a moment of thought, I slapped his face. It came out of me because he was disrespectful and I slapped his face and we both went at the same time and both burst into tears.
Aww.
It was the only time I had ever raised a hand at him and we were both, and I was like, Zach, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I don't know. You just pissed me off
so bad.
He was like, I know, Mom.
It's primal.
It's so primal. Yeah. And I lost it and I was so shocked. But we were both shocked because it's so not us.
Right.
But it was enough that we both went, oh, okay. And he started to play and I thought, oh, this is bad. Because it's actually reaffirming the fact that if I'm violent with him, he'll behave.
So that
when it works.
Note to self.
I'm writing it down right now.
That was one of my really bad failed moments of parenting.
But they happen, nobody talks about them. Right. Like that's why we do the craptastic parenting.
Yeah, because we talk about this, and we've all had those. I mean, by God, we've all had those moments where you just did. And when the kid just looks at you like, and you're like, I know,
I know,
I
do.
I, I can't believe I did it. You don't believe it. Holy shit, I did that. Yeah. I'm so sorry. Not gonna happen again.
Yeah.
But goddamn it, you deserve it.
And you know, and
God
then
damn it, that felt good.
And then there's the opposite moments where you've been a really, you don't know you've been a good parent, and then they reflect that back to you, yeah, and you burst into tears. So there was one moment I was testing for a series. It was a really terribly bad pilot season where I tested for several things and didn't get anything. And I had just tested for this thing and I was so hoping to get it. And I just picked him up from preschool. So he's like 2.5, almost 3. Right. And I was sitting in the Gelson's parking lot on Riverside and I found out I didn't get it. And I just burst into tears. And he's sitting in the back seat, in his car seat. And I'm just sitting at the steering wheel crying. And I had always told him when he was little, just feel your feelings and let them go. Yeah. They're not, you know, they're not going to define you. If you're upset, be upset, but then let it go. Don't hang on to it. Don't, exacerbate it. So I hear this little click and he lets himself out of the car seat and he reaches over and he puts his hand on my back and he goes, it's okay, Mom. Just feel your feelings and let them go. And I burst into tears again.
Yeah.
And I just went, oh, Zach, thank you. I needed a little grounding, like what's really important in life. This, you and me right now, that's real. The rest of it is just, you know. Yeah.
My kids have done that too. And I actually had a moment the other day where, you know, just having, it was just a week. I was feeling a lot of feelings. And
should have come to yoga.
No. Anyway, and I had to go out and do something, and my friend, Lynn was here watching Bee, and they were playing dolls or whatever, and she texted me, and she goes, oh my gosh, she goes, just so you know, Bee was playing with her Barbies, they're like Disney princess dolls, and started singing about how we're princesses, but we don't want to be princesses just because everybody tells us we have to be. Need princes because we don't need boys to make us better.
Yes!
And like, it was this
That's
whole thing
fantastic.
About like how everybody expected them to be. And like, Bee, if you've never heard her, you know, impromptu singing, it's
loud.
It's loud, but it's also actually really,
very
really good.
Good.
It's really, she's a actually really talented singer and musician. And yeah, she just made up a whole song about like, how everybody expects them to be princesses, but they don't want to be. They just want to be normal people, and that everyone thinks that they need a prince, but the princes aren't helping and they don't make them any better. It was like a whole thing. And I had just been having a week where I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing. This is not, how am I doing this? And like in that moment, I just went, you know what?
I'm doing okay.
I'm doing okay. The things that I'm wanting to teach them, which is like, to be
self-worth.
A strong, powerful woman and self-worth, and that, you know, these are the things, like, don't worry about what other people expect of you and all this stuff. Like, you're doing it and you're turning it into a lovely song. So, you know, like, yes.
So it'll be a musical next week.
Yes, yes. Seussical, the musical.
Yes, yes.
Musical, yeah.
I know we're almost out of time. I do want to just say, because I think it's because you're here and it's crazy, and to me still that Brenda's here. Just have to say that out loud. But also because something that I say to moms when I work, because I'm a therapist and I work with a lot of moms, and something that I always talk to them about when they say they feel really alone. Well, now I'm like, listen to our podcast.
Right. You're not alone.
You're not alone. When we talk about like failing and stuff, one of the things that I remember so much after I'd had both kids and I had this really crappy day was Desperate Housewives was on that night, and watching it, and there is a scene when Lynette's character like falls apart and takes off and runs into the soccer field and is freaking out and crying because she just fucked up everything all day long, and all of the friends come and find her and they sit with her and they're like, what's going on? And she's like, I'm just a failure and I can't do anything right, and the twins did this and I'm just a mess and everything's a mess. And they were like, we're all a mess, this happens to us every day. And she just looks at them and she's like, why don't we talk about it more?
Exactly.
And then they bring up Mary Alice and they're like, maybe if we had Mary Alice would still be here, because Brenda's character is off herself in the very beginning
because she couldn't deal with her shame.
She couldn't deal with her shame.
Yeah.
And I use that example when I work with clients all the time. I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm going to talk about Desperate Housewives, but I remember that resonating so much with me and thinking like, if we just can talk about shame and guilt and infertility and everything else and consequences and whatever.
And here we are.
And here we are.
You,
so I had to bring
it
full circle.
You manifested it with Brenda.
I know.
And with Oprah. Crazy.
Brilliant.
And with, yay!
And with you. I didn't know who she was when we started becoming friends, but that's fine.
So,
about it.
If you would like to talk more about your parenting fails, your craptastic moments, whatever
airing of grievances,
whatever it is that you would like to share with us, please feel free to reach out, find us on social media. Our Instagram and Facebook handle is at Never Thought I'd Say This. And our email is...
Yeah, she's pointing at me. It's neverthoughtid at protonmail.com. Brenda, thank you so much for coming. And do you have any last words you'd like to impart to our listeners?
If people would like to follow you, where can they
watch you and see you in a million things that you do?
Well, I'd just like to say, if anyone is going through infertility or knows anyone going through infertility, they can go to Strong Yoga, the number 4women.com, or... Living Leela, and it's soulfulconceptions.com. So there's tools and materials out there to help you. I'm Lillian Luther on Supergirl. The one thing so I'm evil, which is really fun.
my kids are obsessed.
But I've just started directing as well. I just directed 2 episodes of 13 Reasons Why for season 4. So
congratulations.
Please tune in. It's a phenomenal season. Hopefully we'll be released somewhere around graduation.
Great.
But I'm just so happy to be here. And
Thank you so much.
Instagram is Brenda _strong.
I think so too.
Or Strong Brenda, one of the two.
You can find it if you're in our Instagram, you can just look up Brenda and you'll be following her.
Thank you everyone for joining us today. Don't shame yourself. It's all right. Don't shame yourself. Is that
anything?
Don't be ashamed of yourself. I don't know.
Of anyone?
You're great, moms, dads, whoever you are out there. You're doing just fine. And remember, keep killing the parenting game.
And not your kids.
Never Thought I'd Say This is a co-production by Audioboom and Main Event Media.